Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thanks so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm hearing myself in my headphone. How about that? Every now and then we have technical issues to deal with, and we're looks like we're having one of them right now. But in any event, I tell you what, you know, we're going to, well, let's just proceed along this way. It's getting better now. All right, just stopped. Okay, everybody. I hate to do that to you, but in any event, it's a delight to have you with us. There. Okay, I think we're okay. All right, I'm Doug Llewellyn, and it is nice to be back with you again. Sorry to have to start the show this way, but sometimes when you have a technical difficulty, you just have to deal with it. In any event, we are happy to welcome Dr. Mike Armour back with us again today. He's been with us on a series of broadcasts, and it's going to be continuing. He is one of the most highly respected executive coaches in the country today. A lot of people rank him alongside of Tony Robbins and Marshall Goldsmith and several others. He's extraordinary public speaker, and it's just a real treat to have him back with us to lend us his insight onto so many different things that we've been talking about with him. Dr. Mike is the way most people refer to him. Dr. Mike, sorry about the technical difficulties here. How are you? Are you there?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to know other people have technical difficulties at inopportune moments as well as me.
I know, it kind of threw me there for a moment. It was really, I haven't had that before on this system. But in any event, you've been going over so many different things with us. You wanted to talk with us today about developing compelling goals, which is a great topic. You know, this is the time of year, whenever New Year rolls around, people are talking about developing goals for the next year, and they generally do, but then they forget about them, you know, a couple of weeks later. Let's talk a little bit about this subject of developing goals. It's critical for success. What do you go through this with clients who come to you? And you deal with really high-end clients, business executives and leaders, company owners. Is this something they do as well? Do you coach people at that level about developing goals?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do, because a lot of them have heard that they should have goals. They have set goals in the past, and those goals may not have been achieved. They have struggled to know what goals they should prioritize and which ones they should pay less attention to. So they will have a lot of questions around goals. But the reason that it's important is because as a leader, we have to rally people around some shared vision of the future. And in order to do that, we have to have very clear definition in our own mind, and with enough clarity, we can communicate it to the minds of those who follow us, where it is we're going and how we will know when we get there. And that basically translates into what we call goals. Now, the fact of the matter is our language isn't all that precise the way that it has been allowed to degenerate in terms of precision in business usage. What some people call goals, some call objectives, what some call a purpose, others call an aim, some will call a purpose a goal. And so I find myself having to qualify terms a lot when we start these discussions. I have just come to prefer to use the phrase desired outcome. And you can call it whatever you want to. You can call it a goal. You can call it a purpose. You can call it an objective. Every organization ends up needing to define those terms and to scope out what those different terms mean. But they all amount to a desired outcome, which is also what your vision is. It's what your mission statement is. Everything we're doing to give our people a defined sense of what the future should look like is a desired outcome. And the same techniques that go for making a vision compelling go for making goals compelling as well. So we're talking really about desired outcomes.
Well, you know, that's a great term when you put it. You're right. A goal and a desired outcome are really one and the same when you come down to it. They're kind of inseparable from motivation, I guess, aren't they? I would assume. Am I right?
Well, it's sort of implied there in the word desired. We don't desire things that aren't valuable to us. And values are at the heart of all motivation. Or to put it another way, I'm not motivated to do anything that has no value for me. And as a leader, I have to be aware that my people are just like me. They are not motivated to do things that don't have value for them. And the challenge of leadership is to find ways to connect the values of the people to the vision of the leader and bring those together in such a way that people are united around that purpose that the leader is pursuing as he sets the course for the future or as she takes an organization in a completely new direction. Now, that being said, there are two different broad types of motivation. Actually, there are three, but two are primary. I refer to them as directional vectors in motivation. We are motivated to either attain things or to avoid things, or in some cases, to attack things. And so one way the terms are sometimes used is we are motivated toward things and away from things or against things. And that means that there are people who are primarily motivated by the things they want to attain. There are other people who are primarily motivated by what they want to avoid. And I say primarily. We've got a mixture of both of these within all of us. But we all tend to lean one way or the other. We are more commonly motivated by what we're striving for, or we are more commonly motivated by what we are doing our utmost to avoid. And those two motivational vectors then become very critical in how we help people engage emotionally the desired outcomes that we may be promoting. Because the split's about 50-50 in the American population between people who are primarily motivated by what they want and those who are motivated by what they want to avoid. That being the case, leaders tend to be forward-looking and goal-oriented, and so they tend to sell goals on the basis of what we're going to be able to achieve. But because half of their people may be motivated by the other dynamic, it's just as important for them to highlight what the consequences are if we fail to do this. Because the people who are motivated to avoid what they don't want need to hear a message that it's going to be consequential if we don't make this happen. So you're right. Motivation and goals are very closely tied together because until the motivation kicks in, we're not going to pursue any desired outcome in a way that allows us to accomplish it.
You know, you've worked with so many executives, high-level executives, managers, and entrepreneurs. I'm just wondering, when you talk to them originally, do they have goals that they have already set, or is this something you're kind of introducing to them? And not only that, but this is for their company, but is it individually as well?
Yes. In the case of people who are highly successful as executives, particularly those who are entrepreneurs, they tend to have a lot of experience with setting goals and trying to manage the goals. What I'm more likely to be involved with is helping them be more effective in designing the goals, communicating the goals, and measuring the goals, because it is in the technique of utilizing goals that they may be facing the greatest deficiency. It's rare at upper management to run into someone who doesn't understand goals, because most corporations require of those who are in serious management roles to identify their goals for various periods, the next year, the next quarter, in sales organizations the next month. And so people are very conversant with goals, but it's one thing to have a goal and another thing to have a goal that really is motivational and that brings out all the energy, effort, and imagination that's required in order to accomplish something that is other than just a routine, easy-to-achieve goal, something that genuinely is what we sometimes call a stretch goal. Those things have to engage the emotions as well as the intellect we use in coming up with the goal. And to engage the emotions, it's got to be a goal that we connect our values, the things that we desire or the things that we want to avoid, to. And so that's the kind of thing that I'm typically doing with executives at the level that I work at, is helping them be better either at refining the language in which they cast their goals or in the way that they communicate their goals to the people that are following them.
So I gather you have a series of questions you can ask them to make it more compelling when it comes to developing a goal. Is that right?
Yeah, let's clarify that term compelling goals, because it's a term maybe a lot of people have never really heard or thought about. It's a term I use to suggest a goal that is so motivating to me. I have such passion to achieve it that I cannot not do it. I just have to get this done. Now, there are certain situations that life throws us into where those kinds of near-term goals emerge. I've lived through a few tornadoes, and in the wake of a community being leveled by a storm, everybody has a readiness to get in there and get things done, to clean up the debris, to rescue those who are trapped, to take care of those who may be injured, to find those who are still missing. That sense of urgency is there, and people feel compelled to do it, so much so that they lose sight of the fact that they haven't eaten in hours or that they haven't slept much in days, because the thing they've got to do is right in front of them, and they can't neglect their sense of responsibility for doing what they can to right the situation. That kind of moment is an example of a genuinely compelling set of goals. Now, not everything that we pursue is goals can we have that degree of urgency about, but one of the things that is helpful is to see in those moments the things that are common denominators in any goal that is compelling. And one of the common denominators in those recovery efforts after a great storm catastrophe is that sense of urgency. We can't sit around for 3 or 4 weeks and decide to do something. We need to do something right now. So one of the ways we make goals compelling is by finding ways to increase the sense of urgency. And alongside that sense of urgency, and one of the things that actually triggers it, is a clear sense of what's at stake if I do nothing. If I just sit on my hands and do nothing, what's the consequence of that? I'm not willing to accept that outcome. Then we have a reinforced sense of the human toll that the problem which we want to overcome is extracting. I can in the recovery operation and around a storm, they're grieving people, people who've lost everything, people who've lost loved ones, people who are children who are looking frantically for their lost pets. Those things give me a reinforced sense of the human toll that the problem before us is extracting. And another thing, frequent reminders of the sense of what the sense of accomplishment will feel like. I remember in one tornado digging the bricks away from the front of a theater that had children trapped inside at a matinee when the storm hit. And the feeling that we had as we pulled the last bricks away and were able to open the doors and go in and find all those children safe and alive, that reinforced going to the next building and starting to tear the bricks away from the blocked entrance. Those are the kinds of things that make what we're working toward, the outcome we're pursuing, compelling. So without creating storms everywhere that we have to recover from, how can we take some of those principles and apply them to the pursuit of goals? How can we create the sense of urgency? How can we create a clear sense of what's at stake if I do nothing? How can I continually reinforce my sense of the toll it's going to take on people if we don't take some initiative and overcome this problem before us? And what will the accomplishment feel like? As I was ticking those off, several people were coming to mind. I did a lot of work in Ukraine. I doubled for a number of years as CEO of an international humanitarian organization that was doing work in all the former nations of the Soviet Union. And I had a headquarters for one part of Ukraine, Europe that was in Donetsk. And Donetsk, which is in the Donbas area that the Russians and the Ukrainians are fighting over right now, is one of the most concentrated coal mining areas in the world. But the coal mines are very primitive by today's technology standards. They're not very safe. And a lot of people suffer really life-changing injuries in those mines. Well, there was a young man who lived in western Ukraine, not very close to the coal mining area, who had heard about this, but it wasn't a big issue in his mind. The real problem is that Ukraine has no aftercare for the people who receive spinal injuries in the mines. They have great surgeons, and they do great surgery on backs that have been severely injured. But there is literally no rehab facility anywhere in the nation at the time that I was starting to work with them on this that did rehab with people with spinal column injuries. So a person who received a spinal column injury was left just to vegetate in an apartment for the rest of their life. They couldn't go outside. The elevators would hardly accommodate a wheelchair. The doors into buildings would not. The curbs are high, 8, 10, some 12-inch curbs to accommodate the runoff when the spring thaw comes. It's just an impassable world for someone who is immobilized. Well, this young man had never thought much about it until his wife was T-boned in a car accident and received a life-changing spinal injury. She was left paralyzed for life. And for the first time, he realized that there was no place in his entire nation where people could get treatment in the form of post-surgical therapy to recover function after a spinal injury. And he just became compelled to build successful businesses so he could fund the building of rehabilitation centers that would take care of those people like the miners who had been injured. Every night when he came in and tended to dressing his wife or feeding her, he was reminded of the importance of what he was wanting to do for other people. It would be too late to help his wife, but when he could accomplish it, there would be other people who would be injured in the future who would not be forcing their families through all that caring for his wife had thrust upon his family. So that's what I mean by having some way of refreshing our memory of what it is we're trying to achieve and why it's important to achieve it. Now, that's a dramatic example, I realize, but at the same time, there's a principle there that probably we can find some ways to apply to make the routine goals that we would otherwise have a greater sense of what's at stake and why I need to accomplish this. And it works the other way. In his case, he was wanting to overcome a problem. I've had the privilege of knowing a number of very successful professional athletes, and I've been amazed at how many of them tell me how as a teenager they would go out on the field of a professional stadium or a baseball park at a major league park and just stand there with the stands empty and imagine what it was going to feel like when they took the field with fans in the stands cheering for them, and just envisioning that and thinking about the warmth that was going to create was part of the inspiration that kept them working out, conditioning themselves, working on their technique, looking for coaches who could help them perfect their game so that they could continue to pursue their goal. That reinforcement is really important.
That's really interesting. That's very inspirational indeed. But the question really is, does every goal have to be a compelling one?
No. But our goals that we think are pivotal for our future or for our family or for our nation need to be compelling to the degree that we can make them that. Not all goals are created equal. Some do serve as goals toward even greater goals, greater ends. And so we can't treat them as being on a level playing field. It's those that are the most important to us that we really need to make compelling. I had a good friend here in Dallas for many, many years. We would have breakfast together several times a year. We taught a class on Sunday mornings at a church together. He was one of the most respected business people here in Dallas. He had long had a dream of making enough money that he could rebuild a section of town that was once quite magnificent but had fallen into disrepair and shambles and, in fact, in some cases, squalor. It was going to take a lot of money to do what he dreamed of doing. But periodically, even though it was not on his direct route to anywhere, he would go down and drive through that neighborhood to remind himself of what he was spending his hours building his company to legendary success. At one time, it was the largest company in its industry anywhere in the world. What it was doing was empowering him to turn this neighborhood around at someday in the future. So those kinds of engagements with why it's important for me to achieve this goal is really critical. And he had a lot of other goals in his life that he pursued with some energy. But the goals that we need to pursue with passion for the sake of our family, for the sake of our career, for the sake of our company, for the sake of our community, those we need to find ways to make so compelling that we cannot not do it.
Wow, you make it sound so, that's so interesting indeed. You know, a couple of times this month we talked about the of measurable goals. Does that mean that you can't set goals that are not easily measurable?
As a matter of fact, a lot of the goals we set are not measurable. I mentioned this last week when talking with Jim in terms of SMART goals, because a lot of people have been trained in writing goals according to what's called the SMART formula. And one of the things that the SMART goal formula emphasizes is measurability. The M in the SMART stands for measurable. And therefore, people who have never really dug deeply into the dynamics of goal setting and goal achievement come away feeling like if I can't put a metric on it, if I can't measure it, it's really not an important goal. But there are many, many things that are important that we can't measure directly. We can only measure them indirectly. For instance, I don't know of a company that's not interested in knowing whether their workers are finding fulfillment in their job. But there's no way we can measure that directly.
True.
We have to find indirect ways of measuring it. And so, no, not everything has to be measurable, but there has to be some evidence procedure that I use to determine whether or not the goal is being achieved. And that evidence procedure may be anecdotal, it may be observational, it may be surveys we take that give us an indication of what people's attitudes are, but every goal doesn't have to be measurable, but it has to have a very distinct evidence procedure that I use to decide whether the goal has been achieved, and it's got to be an evidence procedure that my team, my workers agree with and will use themselves in deciding whether or not we've achieved what we set out to achieve. Things like team unity, team spirit, those are things that we can't measure. They are vitally important, but we have to measure them indirectly.
You know, you are such a well-known public speaker. Is this something you focus a lot on in your speaking engagements?
It comes in subtle ways, because one of the things you want to do as a speaker is to urge people into some kind of action. Well, action has to have a goal at the end of it, or it's just meaningless motion. And so I talk about things that I urge my audience to pursue in ways that I'm painting the pictures in their minds that will help the goal be compelling for them. Taking them through the kind of exercise we've just been talking about really is beyond the scope of what most people are looking for in a keynote speech, but the principles behind what we've been talking about weave their way into the call to action that's part of any really good public appeal.
Well, that's really interesting, to say the least. Dr. Armour, Dr. Mike, so nice to have
it's
you
fine.
Back with us. I got to tell you, right now I'm thinking the most important goal this week is to have a Merry Christmas. It's right around the corner.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Well, probably the second most important goal is getting my Christmas shopping done before it gets here.
You are so right. It's so good to hear you. Good to hear you. You know, I can't help but think, golly, you've been through several tornadoes. I can't think of anything worse than to live through a tornado. I mean, that's got to be terrifying.
Well, I can.
Really?
Decided long ago. I've been through hurricanes at sea. I've been through tornadoes. I've been through earthquakes in California. I'll take any of them before I get in the path of a wildfire in California. That one is the most terrifying to me.
I agree with you there. I've been there, done that. I know what you're talking about. Well, listen, a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Mike. Have a Merry Christmas. You'll be back again next week, and we'll continue this discussion, okay?
Okay.
I'd like to have
Thanks
you with
a lot.
Us. Take
Great.
Care. All righty. That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.